Morning. My name is Gabby. I'm the administrative assistant to the VP of Planning and Development, which is currently vacant. But I'm also interim studying for the administrative assistant position to Academic Affairs Office.
Oh, you might be the only one. Okay, Norco.
Brady Kerr, I'm professor in music industry studies and co-chair for this committee.
Good morning, Brady.
Good morning.
And I guess we'll go to RCC.
Patrick's here, Patrick Scullin, RCC, Applied Digital Media and Printing Graphics.
Okay, let's go ahead and go with the rest of my team then. Well, Daniel, I mean, Daniel should chime in, but go ahead.
Daniel, Riverside College. I don't know, Riverside or district. I'm not sure. I do it all. I guess I am under the Riverside umbrella, but printing services coordinator.
Thanks, Daniel. Thea, we're still on Riverside. You can jump in.
Fantastic. Perfect timing. Thea, I am the Associate Dean of CTE.
And then my team can figure out who wants to go first or last or in the middle.
I can go. I am Leslie Vargas, and I am the Public Affairs Officer serving Moreno Valley and temporarily Norco College.
I'm Jessica Vieira. I'm the Public Affairs Officer for RCC. Nice to see you guys.
I'm Chris Laverso. I'm the Senior Graphic Designer for the district.
Mark Knight, Information Architect.
And Chris Clark, Executive Director, External Communications or External Relations and Strategic Communications. And I'm sorry, I'm not on the camera either. I guess I have bad bandwidth issues up here. I did upload a picture of our house this morning so you can see how much we're suffering up here.
Yeah, I can see the snow from my house. So enjoy it. Don't hurt your shoulder digging out of it. So,
No.
Renee, if you can pull the agenda up and we will start going through. Thank you. I guess we've already called meeting to order. Can I get an approval of the minutes, please?
I motion.
Thank you.
One second.
Thank you. All those in, well, let's do it the Dr. Isak style way. Are there any opposed or abstentions?
I
Awesome.
abstain, sorry. I abstain. I wasn't present at the last one.
That's okay. Awesome. Thank you. So this item will move. And then, Chris, I'm going to have you go ahead and start with Chris's communications.
Okay, can I share my screen?
I think so.
Can you guys see that okay?
Yep.
Yes.
Right. So this has been a work in progress for some time, and it's I don't believe we've gone through this, at least it's an entirety, since it's been updated. But we'll go through this. All right. So this document is really to provide a framework for coordinating communications during emergencies and disasters. It's a guide to our RCCD personnel, and it's not meant as a general, I mean, it will be a public-facing document, but it's not meant as a general communications guide. It's specifically about crisis communications during an incident. So we talk about the different guiding principles, and this should be connected to the agenda that you all received. So hopefully you've become a little bit familiar with it. but it has the guiding principles and then crisis definitions, where we have law enforcement related critical incidents, faculty related critical or facility related critical incidents, and other critical incidents. The first two are those that happen on our campus and are things that usually are localized to our campus. The last one, but the other tend to be widespread natural disasters like earthquakes, floods, fires, that type of thing. And we'll get into more why those different types of incidents are there. But we follow the incident command system, which is, I've got the link to the training document on FEMA about how that's organized. We follow the district's emergency operations plans. And then these are just some common definitions or key terms of people within that system. So we have an incident commander, whoever's responsible for making the decisions during a crisis, that would be the incident commander. It's usually either the chief of police or a college president or the chancellor himself. During any emergency or crisis where we activate the RAVE alert system, we will also activate an emergency operations center. The emergency operations center is convened by the incident commander, and the basic operations of an EOC are that you have the president or whoever was in charge of the incident, you have their vice presidents, and you also have somebody from risk management or safety and the public information officer. So they're gathered, in this case, virtually, and they're making the decisions and deciding how the communications go out from that emergency operations center. The public information officer is generally me, unless I'm not available. If I'm not there, then the vice chancellor, Goldware, would be the PIO. Or if neither one of us are available, one of the public affairs officers would serve on the EOC as the PIO until one of us got there. There's also a crisis communications team. So during an incident, when we have an emergency operations center going, then we would also activate the crisis communications team. This is generally done at the district office in the conference room, but it could be done virtually as well. Basically, it's the PAOs, the information officer, our information architect, the government relations director, and basically they're organized to help with the communications. And I'm going to show you a chart here later that shows exactly how that works. And then we also have what's called joint information centers. When multiple agencies are involved in a particular crisis, say the police, the fire, local hospital, other school districts, we're, like at RCC, we're very close to other schools. So there might be multiple agencies in a widespread disaster. And we would set up a joint information center where we could coordinate our efforts with the other PIOs and also interact with the press. The members of the crisis communications team are the vice chancellor, Goldware, myself, the public affairs officers. I just went through that, so we're good there. The activation of the crisis communications team is anytime that the EOC is formed. If we decide that we need a full team, then I would activate the CCT. And this is a standing Zoom link that we would invite anybody to attend that. Authorized communications. Basically, this is stating that the incident commander, the chancellor, the college president, or the chief of police, or their substitute, if they're absent, They oversee the crisis response and the EOC, and they're the ones that coordinate the crisis response with other departments and agencies. The IC also directs communications to internal and external audiences through the district's PIO. The PIO can compose the messages, but he's composing them based on, he or she is composing them based on the communications that the IC wants to send out, right? Let's see. Crisis communications plans are a little bit different from these guidelines. These guidelines help us to create those plans, but the plans are actually created during a particular crisis. Or sometimes we plan beforehand, doing mock emergencies or tabletop discussions where we would put together, okay, these are, this is the communications that we want to send out during this particular crisis. Within that plan, you normally have messaging timelines as far as the frequency of communications and messaging templates. We've been developing message templates. We already have the initial messages all stored on Rave, so we can send out initial messages very quickly. And then subsequent messages, we've been drafting those based on the experiences that we've had. We have kind of a library of those communications ready so that we just have to modify them to the situation. And then we can send them out via Rave. So the procedure is that we gather information, then initiate the execution, communicate with all of the stakeholders, which includes the students, the personnel, and the community. And then we monitor the situation, and particularly social media and things like that, to make sure that we're correcting any misinformation that we happen to see. We're also coordinating with other departments, especially if we're working in an incident or a joint information center with other agencies. That's also coordinated in the CCT within the plan. Crisis communication support, we've already gone through these, and basically it's saying that we have the flexibility to have just the PIO, the crisis communications team when needed, and sometimes the joint information center, which would include both of the above. So on urgent communications, our principal method of distributing communications during crisis is through the Rave alerts. And the Rave alert includes a combination of the following media channels. So you have text messages that go out via cell phones, voice messages that go out via desktop phones, email. There's RSS feeds that go directly to the district and college websites. If you've noticed during an emergency, there's a red bar or an announcement that shows up at the top of the website that talks, that has those messages embedded. We also occasionally do it on social media. It depends on how widespread the emergency is. If it's just one, you know, one building on one campus, we probably wouldn't do the social media. And then desktop messaging on computers. We also have some digital signage on some of the campuses that we utilize, and the Guardian app that we recommend that everybody download. We also do other communications with targeted audiences. Sometimes the crisis may not rise to the level of using a Rave alert, like maybe that a power outage is coming and we know that we want to close the campus, but it wouldn't, it's not an urgent emergency, so it wouldn't be appropriate to use a Rave alert. In those cases, we can use social media directly. We have a social media manager that allows us to post image or post statements or information to social media from one central location. We also have the Canvas network that is how faculty communicate with students, and during a crisis we may access that. We have WebAdvisor, which also allows us to send out messages. On some of the campuses, we have public address systems. Some are better than others. We even have megaphones distributed in strategic places, so we can use the public address system if we need to. We also do media releases when there's time and have press conferences once we have approved messages from the incident commander. And then we also do email messages and listserv messages. As far as communicating with the news media, the primary point of contact for media inquiries during an emergency like this is the PIO. In the PIO's absence, it would be the Vice Chancellor Goldware or one of the PAOs. If the crisis is restricted to one campus, then often the PAO would be helping with interacting with the media for that campus. Let's see. I think these are pretty much given, but basically it's just the main idea here is that there's a single point of contact when the news call in, anybody receiving calls or questions from the news media would refer that to the public information officer so we can make sure that the communications that are going out are accurate and approved by the incident commander. There's some information that sometimes may not be appropriate to share because it might reveal, for example, the location of the person that they're searching for on campus, or it might be sensitive personal information in the case of somebody that's been injured on campus. So we don't always communicate everything. We try to be transparent where possible, but we also protect the privacy and the dignity of the people that are being helped. Post-crisis communications, when a crisis has been determined by the incident commander to be done with or over, then we send out an all-clear message that goes out through RAVE, and then we remove the messaging from the computers and desktops. In some cases, we have to report out to media even during and after a crisis, and so we have guidelines here for the PAOs or PIO as they're collecting information, how to do that and make sure that it's all accurate. This talks a little bit about joint information center management, so if there's a incident commander, that incident commander's it's responsible for the Joint Information Center, that PIO that's assigned to the EOC. I'm using a lot of acronyms here, sorry. If it's a widespread disaster, our chancellor may retain control and decide that PIO or our PIO would be responsible for the messaging that goes out for the entire group. More often than not, though, it would be an official with the county or with fire or police that would be coordinating that as far as the Joint Information Center. So sometimes we play the primary role and sometimes we play a partnering role. We also do training with our PAOs and management. We even try to go through different scenarios to practice. We use the RAVE Alert system and get training on that at least twice per year. And then our recommendation is that we evaluate and update these crisis communications guidelines every 2 years. This has gone through already some iterations with our risk management and safety personnel. But I'll open this up to any questions that you guys may have or go from there.
Questions, comments, concerns? This item is moving through DSSC, safety and security, or something like that.
It's a great document. It's very thorough. And sometimes I think in communicating with some stakeholders on campus, sometimes a summary that doesn't lose kind of the important details, but almost like an executive summary sometimes is helpful in communication. That might not be something for now, but perhaps in the future, that might be something we consider, just to make some of the information digestible, because I think there's a lot of interest on campus around this. But I also know that sometimes interest doesn't match up with people being willing to read through long documents. So that might just be something to consider in the future.
Great suggestion. Thank you, Thea. I was going to show you this crisis communications flowchart. Now that you've had exposure to the document, this explains a little bit. So in this portion, you have the Emergency Operations Center, who's involved in that, right? These are the vice presidents that are usually involved in that, or the vice chancellors if it's a district-wide event. You have a safety officer, incident commander, and the PIO. The PIO then directs the crisis communications team, which includes these people highlighted here in orange. And then when multiple agencies are engaged, the Joint Information Center is here. So we've tried to use this to simplify it a little bit, Thea. So this is partly an answer to your questions, but I had also said I was going to show this to you. So.
I know it. When I was at USC, there was a very predictable kind of pattern to crises, which they had a lot of incidences on campus. And I think people found that very comforting. And it was always just a generic, you know, activity at XYZ location, please stay away. And then activity has concluded, you know, feel free to go in that area. Clearly that wasn't the exact ring, but that was the idea. And then if there was additional, you know, to your point, communication that might be, you know, appropriate to share, and then sometimes there isn't, then that was followed up with an email. But there was that immediate text message, please stay away, incident resolved. And then after that, you knew that you could expect, if appropriate, some type of longer explanation via email. I don't know if, like, is there something like that in here?
No, but that's a great idea. And it is something that we have outlined in the emergency operations plan. So there's a the document that comes out from our safety personnel has a kind of a different type of flow chart that shows that flow of decision-making and messaging that goes out.
Okay, I think that was like that just immediate, quick, short thing that everyone knew we could expect, I think was super helpful to build that trust.
I think it'd be great to include that in the summary document that you were talking about too, you know, just a
flow chart. I think along with that, in the couple incidents we've had at RCC, there was a lot of questions about the difference between like a lockdown and a, what was the other word? I can't remember, but just how,
shelter in place.
Yeah, shelter in place. And there's a big difference between whether or not that's an active threat or if that's just a safety issue. And I remember there's a lot of confusion around like early childhood, for example, where they were kept inside their building, didn't get clear direction on when they could leave. So I'm just wondering, is there a communication chart, I guess, for, you know, like, I know there's active shooter, there's shelter in place, but is there intermediate steps there to make this like quick and easy, like Thea's talking about?
That's been handled or that's being handled by the safety committee as far as the definitions of those different types of terms. As far as the flowchart, like what Thea was talking about, I think we need to do that, but that is not included here.
So Patrick and Thea, this is a piece of the larger emergency ops, which is in collective going through DSSC. So that was kind of what Chris is tying in there. Getting them even to square definitionally, is that a word? I just made it up. It's not. There was a lot of back and forth just in that space. So happy to add things. We can tweak some things. We'll bring it back to this group again so you're not having to just see it once. Chris, is it going as a standalone or as it's going as a standalone to DSSC next week?
Today.
Oh, yes. Today. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. After this meeting, I remember. So they will probably have a larger focus on all of the moving pieces. But if there are questions, concerns, I don't know how quickly Aaron's going to want to move this. But it is a living document, so if there are things that we need to tweak as time passes, we can do that. But we won't have the chart for 10:30. I know, Thea, I know you don't expect us to. So, any other questions, comments, recommendations, concerns?
I just want to say, I don't know if anyone saw in the chat, I really like the idea of the general text and then following up with an email with details. Sorry, you hear my significant other. Snow. So sorry.
No, good.
So basically, like, I like the idea of a general text, so that it's quick and immediate, because I know that's a lot of big feedback that we get is that it's not immediate enough. And then just with the email with more details as we get more. And then obviously if it's a shelter in place, like I think Patrick was saying, we can provide that in text by explaining why that happened. I think a lot of times we get stuck on the why when we're in the crisis. So maybe if we'd keep it general, it would be better. And then following up with that email.
And I think that was key because it didn't then set the expectation that there's immediate communication about the details, because that's often not appropriate.
Yeah.
But if it's just known that, okay, this is a general stay away, and then you know that you're going to get all clear, that's so helpful, I think, and could be helpful for some of the things that we've seen on campus. And I'm trying to pull up an example somewhere of what it is, but it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, and within the Rave Alert system, we have different messaging capabilities. So the text alert is restricted to like 162 characters. So we can't go beyond that in the text message or even in the phone message that we send out. But in the email version of it, that goes out to everybody's email address, we can put in a longer message. We're not restricted on the number of characters for the email. So often we'll say in the text message that goes out, we'll say, this is an emergency. Please shelter in place or whatever the immediate direction is. For more details and information, please regularly check your email. So that is built into the system. There's also follow-up emails that are done usually by the president through the PAOs. That is after the incident. That's kind of summaries, and they do wrap-ups and give additional information about resources that are available to help people, following an emergency. So those types of things typically haven't been handled by this department, but are part of what the presidents do through their PAOs.
Okay, anything else on this item? Okay, we'll bring it back and let you know what happened at DSSC at the next meeting. And it is possible that it will move as part of the collective through Aaron's side to DMs. I'm messing letters. DSPC. I don't know how many acronyms we can have just in this meeting. It could be fun to count. So we'll keep you posted on whatever happens, but regardless, if there's feedback, please share it, regardless of timing.
Rebecca, do we want to take a vote to pass this along, or is it
I'll
leave it
take
up to the group?
that'll be at the will of the collective. It's the first time you all are seeing it. I don't know that it's different from general practice other than operationalizing some things, but if the collective is willing to take action on it, that would be great.
I'm down to motion to move it forward.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thanks, Patrick. This one I'll do all in favor, just so people can do like a thumbs up or hands or something.
About a woot woot?
Oh, woot woot. I think Renee knows how to count that one. So
Okay, cool.
if people, if the voting members could vote, that would be great. Thank you, Thea. Thank you.
I'm a voting member, Rebecca, so I vote yes because I'm the
Yes.
CSCA person. Okay.
Thank you, Leslie. Thanks, Tony. I think we have the collective. Thank you. Thank you. We will go ahead and move on now to the next item, which is on listservs. This is more of a question for the group and updates. I guess, and I'll share what I last heard from Monica from Norco, and Brady, you can provide maybe some details. It's been a while since you all went through your process. And then if I could get any updates from the colleges, I will be talking with the presidents to find out their preferences in terms of moving the administrative lists. And then it becomes what's happening on the faculty side. My understanding is, and I don't have documentation, but I know Norco does, went through this in 2019. Brady, do you want,
Yes.
do you remember? Can you give kind of a recap?
I actually don't have a recap because it was on pause for so long,
Okay.
and then I didn't hear anything, but I do know that it went to Senate. And as far as I know, it's moving forward, but waiting for Monica's stamp.
And I think the consensus out of Norco was to moderate their Norco all list.
Yes, which
So
I
the
has
go
not
ahead.
happened. Like everyone can still share, but I would love, love, love to monitor who can reply all.
So that is the process that I will be following up with the presidents on. I think Norco is the only one who has moved forward in terms of a process. Administratively, I think the presidents can approve or not approve, and then the faculty list would go through the Senate. Norco had gone through a different process, I think, actually, as I was just getting here, and it waited to what Brady's point was. Because of back-end server stuff. All of that has changed now. And now we're just trying to get everybody on board with where they are. So I anticipate Norco making a shift. I don't anticipate it being this academic year. So I anticipate something happening with over the summer with nomenclature and then it being messaged and then going live for fall. But that's me being presumptive and I need to talk with Monica still.
I
But
feel like that's very doable.
cool. Cool. So that's where I think Norco is. I don't know if, Gabby, I don't want to put you on the spot. I don't know that you would know anything from Moreno Valley. And I don't really have an update from talking with Farida the last time. But if you happen to know anything,
No, I unfortunately do
that's
not, but
okay.
I can.
I could give the update, Gabby, if you don't want to.
Thank you.
Since
Yeah.
we
Oh, Leslie knows. Yay, Leslie. Go ahead.
Yes, we have marketing meetings every week, Rebecca, at MVC
I
with the
need to
team.
talk to you more then about some stuff.
But yes, so at MVC, we're still working on the new campaign, Together We Rise. So far, we've only started with undocumented support. All of those posters are up on campus, the A-frames, the TV monitors. Right now, Veronica is designing banners because Academic Senate said they wanted more representation for undocumented support. So they're doing banners that show Together We Rise with a link to the Undocumented Resource Center. Buttons. Gabby was great enough. She ordered buttons, stickers, different things. We also have the stuff from the district, which is not part of the campaign, but still shows the support for undocumented. There's lots of events coming up. We have a grand reopening of the Student Services Building next month, which is going to be like a similar event as the BLCIS event that happened at RCC. MVC is also working on updating, kind of similar to RCC, where we're getting footage to have the virtual map where you can click and see what the building looks like through the virtual map. Our new camera, videographer, photographer, social media person. Chris has just got his computer yesterday and finally got his camera equipment. So he's been able to do a lot of more footage and we've been able to get a lot of more video footage on social media. But that's like kind of temporarily what we're working on in the midst
Leslie,
of.
I'm going to have you pause.
Okay.
Because we're way off agenda topic. We're just talking about the listservs right now. We're not
Oh,
giving a
sorry.
campus update. You're okay. Are there any, do you have any updates, either one of you, on listservs at the campus? I'm going to guess no.
It's
That's
a
okay.
no over here.
Okay. Patrick and Dorothea and or Tony, I don't know that Tony's been in the loop. Do you all know anything about listservs and movement and conversation?
I do not.
Okay.
I know that it got confused in Senate, so
Yeah.
they went around and around, and I didn't do a good job of reining that in. But they were talking about the faculty listserv a lot, and it seemed really clear to me. But then when they started discussing it, it got kind of confused. So I don't know if they approved or what, and I don't know what's happening with the other listservs.
Okay, I will follow up. Thea, do you know anything on the administrative side? That's okay. I will be following up, like I said, with the president's. Patrick, if you can get it back on your on the agenda somewhere, either as a follow-up discussion, I because it did get left in like October, November. So if it could be brought back, if y'all don't want the list, fine. We don't have to activate them. I just need somebody to tell me something. Or I can just put it down and we can not talk about it anymore and just hope it goes away.
She said, listserv or
I just.
other updates. So I went all
Leslie,
in.
you're off mute.
Sorry.
It's okay. Go ahead, Patrick.
I was going to say, I think the way we left it is the faculty understood that it was going to be unmoderated on the faculty side, but I don't know. So I can do that.
Yeah, if there's consensus and a great. I just need, I guess, confirmation. Any other questions on the list? The district lists for just a general update are done. There is a page. I don't actually know what it is, but you could Google RCCD listservs and it will probably come up. So the RCCD all guidelines are posted there. The Cato lists are up there. I don't know that we have who the moderators are listed on who the on those moderated lists. But if they're up there, I have back end access. So worst case, you can always request it of me and or of the public affairs officer because they usually have some connection to the lists at the campus. So any questions, additional questions, I guess, on listservs? Okay. Chris, you get to go on to social media guidelines. And just as a Chris as a content, consider the agenda. So if we need to bump something to the next meeting, we can, because I do want to let the colleges provide updates.
Okay. This document we've seen multiple times in the DMCC, so hopefully this will be a final read, so to speak. There are two questions that are still open, but we're just going to consult with our legal advisor to find out what the real answer is, and then we'll make that modification. So I'm going to go through this and highlight changes that have happened since the last time it was viewed. And I'm really going to specifically talk about those things that Noelle made notes of about as she went through and did a really thorough review of the social media guidelines. Really appreciate her work on this and her suggestions. They've made a difference. I'm hoping to get additional feedback. This really can be a living document. I mean, once we approve it, it goes on the website, but there can be updates to it. So it's not something that we have to, this is the end all of this document. So one of the things was, one of the quick issues that she raised was the creation, this sentence, the creation and administration of official social media accounts must be authorized by the district or college. She made the point that at MVC, they don't allow new accounts to be created on behalf of the college by anyone except for the web app technician. And she wondered if we wanted to make that a district-wide, if we wanted to have an established procedure or a process that we do to make sure that we kind of stay in control of that. My response to that is that the district monitors but does not have a specific registration process for district social media accounts other than these guidelines. The colleges, though, may need different guidelines or procedures that can be included in college-specific social media guidelines. So this is the district document. The college version may have more specific guidelines than this. And so we put in here, this paragraph that wasn't in there before, refer to each college's social media guidelines for specific procedures for creating, registering, and managing college-specific official social media accounts. She also made the comment that failure to adhere to these guidelines may result in revocation of social media privileges on district and or college accounts. We really didn't feel comfortable with changing may to will because it's absolute. And sometimes it's just a matter of informing people that they're violating. That may be all that's needed to correct the situation. So we want to leave it may, but appreciate the thought that maybe we want to be stronger on that language. And again, that could be different for the colleges. You can be more restrictive on the college guidelines than the district. You just can't be less restrictive. So this has gone through some changes as far as the unofficial social media accounts. Noelle brought up some really good suggestions or ideas about this. One was in the second paragraph here, the use of the district or college identity by unofficial social media accounts is strictly prohibited and may be subject to corrective action. We use the term corrective action because not thinking of it as far as the handbook, but more that we would take steps to correct the problem, right? It might be legal, it might be punitive, but we would want to correct the action. So we left it corrective action, but I'm open to changing that if there's other strong opinions on that. Where we've just resolved the issue, I won't go into those because it was a simple fix usually. On social media best practices, Noelle made the suggestion that we include a section or talk about specific security issues with as they relate to social media accounts. So we've added, based on her recommendations, this section that's highlighted in yellow. So this is all new. Basically, it's saying that security-related best practices for social media accounts are the following. Talks about passwords, not sharing the passwords, using multi-factor authentication, updating credentials when individuals leave the unit, registering accounts with shared emails belonging to the district, and the plans to recover accounts if somebody leaves or gets hit by the milk truck or whatever. So those have been added to this, but I think they're pretty standard in language and everything. So, and it's a great recommendation. Thank you, Noelle. So Noelle posed the question, do we know how to do this if we don't have access? And I'm saying we do know how to request it from the social media provider. That's basically all we can do. If it gets down to a legal issue, we could engage our legal counsel in asking them to remove it. And that may be warranted. So we left this as is, but that's the understanding there. This section is still being finalized. Basically, it's saying that if you have concerns about a social media account, you're to contact the PAO. And we're determining if we want to use a generic PAO for each college, or if we want, as far as an email address, or if we want to put in the specifics. We think we're going to go with a generic one. We just need to double check with legal and with the social media providers if we can do that or not, because usually the social media providers require a name that goes along with the account, not just a social media person, right? So, and then we changed the unofficial social media accounts, the disclaimer to something much softer, because we can't require anybody on an unofficial social media account to post or even do a disclaimer. But we suggest the following: the views and opinions expressed through this account may not reflect the views of RCCD or its colleges. And then we have the safety and security, which has stayed the same. Any questions, comments?
I think this booger needs to go through already. So I would say figure out that last little bit with legal and let's get this in the universe.
Yeah. Thank you, Brady.
So here's my question. Is the group comfortable approving it as is, knowing that legal, that council is going to make that final determination and we're not going to change it? Can we move it today?
I move it swiftly, please.
Awesome.
I'll second that.
Thank you. All of those in favor, you can do your thumbs again.
Woo.
I like the rockets, Tony. I approve of the rockets. Awesome. Thank you. And we will move on. Chris, do you want to talk about logo creation briefly, or do you want me to?
Go ahead. I've talked enough.
Okay. I've talked enough. Yeah. So we'll switch. So a long, long time ago, and again, it started with Norco. They went ahead and went through a process because we couldn't figure out. At one point, this committee didn't exist, so we had to create the committee. But then I think everyone knows I call it Jelly Bean because Melissa Beta called it Jelly Bean. They went away from Jelly Bean to the more angular horse. Brady, when did you guys do that? 21?
Yeah.
Okay. So there is a framework somewhere within the district that we could repurpose to scale so that everybody has a at least a platform for logo creation. Having said that, some of these things do require the board's like approval. We can't just create images without it going through. Well, that's not fair. We can create images. We can't rename things. We can't name things without the board's approval. So if there was a program that was going to get created and an image or logo needed to go with it, that program name, and it may go through the council or the curriculum process, but it does eventually make it to the board to have some name associated with it. Usually it's tied to the curriculum, the program, right? But there needs to be some kind of structure around imagery, and that doesn't yet exist other than what Norco has done. So I don't know if there has been requests of how do we create logos? Like, what's the process? Who does it go through? Unless there is a difference in this, in the group, I would posit that we could reframe Norco's, bring it forward to you all for review, tweak it a little bit. Again, from the higher level, the colleges can decide a more complex delivery system, but I would look at setting something up from the higher level, just so that there's a structure in place, so that if the Center for Social Justice wants to create a logo, there is a process. When Workforce and Economic Development, or fill in the blank, also central to district, there is also a process created. So I'm open to conversation in general.
It felt really easy at Norco. We hired an outside firm, and there was a small group of us that went back and forth, and it felt smooth to me.
I was going to say, I think there needs to be kind of a tiered structure. So if we're talking about the logo or graphic that represents the entire college, like say the RCC logo, it might have one set of standards, but within the campus community or smaller down to groups and clubs, we don't want a super oppressive method for that one, I don't think.
100%. But there needs to be general structure and guidelines. For example, if the tiger's going to face one direction for one group and it's going to face another direction for a different group, cool. We just have to be consistent. If they want to change the directions, cool. We just have to be consistent.
Yeah, and I think we've been discussing that in the marketing committee, and we have kind of a loose structure where we're talking about assessing the need, then forming a small team, maybe like Norco, to actually address it, because a big committee doesn't work, and then making presentations and letting the constituent groups be a part of the review process.
Yep, that's exactly what we did.
So that's kind of what we want to do at RCC, especially in particular to address our athletic needs.
Yeah, understood. Brady, could you and or ask Denise, or Renee can ask Denise, could we get maybe the history of when it was approved and the process you all went through, unless there's a write-up on it. Because we can go back through the minutes and we can draft it and have something for review for this group next time. Patrick, I hear you. It would be super high level, not meant to be punitive as things roll down, leaving it administratively, process-wise, approval-wise at the colleges or wherever the appropriate administrative structure is, right? Like if it's coming through my group, I'm going to run it through something as well. Does that work for the group?
I'll just make one comment on this, Rebecca. I think this is typically handled in the branding guide, but we don't really have the process outlined in the branding guide. So what we're thinking is that we could create a document that outlines the process for developing a logo and then add it to, after it goes through and gets approved, that we could add that to the branding guides.
Yes, agreed. Okay, so we'll get something together and we'll come back to this group the next time with something in that. Anything else on logo creation? Because we're running out of time and I want to make sure that there's time for updates, I'd like to push campus maps to the next meeting, unless there's any argument against. And then I'd like to jump back into Leslie's update and then we can go through Norco and RCC for general updates. Leslie,
that was all.
I knew. I was like, "Do I interrupt her or do I let her finish?" And I waited until the very end. I'm sorry.
Yes, we just have, like I said, we're focused on our grand opening, finishing our campaign. See, Gabby's laughing because she.
Yeah, she was on a roll, but she basically covered most of it. Our current campaign is the one that we're mostly focused on, and then the reopening of the building.
Awesome. Thank you. Brady, Norco.
So we lost Caitlin Blank to another school, so we are without a CPRO again. The marketing committee is not real-ish. And the last time we met, we decided we'll probably just meet quarterly. And my assumption is that we might just dissolve into a work group. However, lots of cool stuff is happening. We're still running the Come As You Are campaign. We are putting on an equity summit in April. And things are moving as they usually do, but there's nothing crazy happening. But we've got a bunch of events coming up through the DEIA committee and other programs. Everything's going well. And we've found that there isn't a huge need for the marketing committee itself, because we still have Ruth, but she's doing all of the social media and that type of thing. So maybe the newest, coolest thing is I just designed a classroom crisis flyer that will be in every classroom that's geared towards faculty that teach at night. And if they have a crisis in the classroom, who to reach out to and how to resolve that situation.
If you would share that, that would be great.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Anything else from Norco?
No, I'll look for that real quick and put it in the chat.
Awesome. Thank you. RCC.
Currently. Oh, okay.
I was just going to say that as far as the committee is concerned, we've been addressing logo needs. So we've been using our brand guide that we implemented last year. So when we have question marks, we try to help guide decision-making on that. And then we have implemented this process to work on the athletic and associated students branding. So we've identified a team working on a strategy, and then we'll be working through a process to propose updates for the branding.
Oops, it went to Leslie as a private message. One sec.
Thanks, Patrick. Go ahead, Jessica.
So on our end, we're working on emergency flyers for the classrooms as well, but the differentiating shelter in place, but also like mental health crises. So we have that not only in the classrooms, but the parking lot coming soon. And then we also have now I just like have went scatterbrained, but we're also working. So the emergency flyers, tennis court signs are going up. They're in printing right now. They also want, right now we're really sign happy at RCC. So we're working on like also when campus is closed, having signs that say when campus is closed. But overall, we're working on the You Matter campaign, kind of making it more student focused of displaying our students or our alumni in You Matter swag and then presenting them and like their experience. And then kind of marketing that. So we have like the 100 Black Men golf tournament coming up, and you'll see one of those signs with a student focused perspective. But yeah, that's pretty much what's going on here. Oh, and then the housing campaign, we launched it already. We have about 160 applicants at this point.
Thank you. Anything else? Oh, there is a campaign that's out there that just folks should generally be aware of. It's a large push with UCR. So there's students who receive a deferral, i.e. a rejection, are going to get a letter from UCR that says, go to an RCCD college and in 2 years, you can come back to us. That's going to go to all of their deferrals, not just the ones in our territory. And if I do math generally correctly, I'm going to use nice round numbers. They had about 70,000 applications this year. My guess is at most they can take 10, and that's a super, super high number. So a lot of people are going to get a message saying, look at RCCD colleges. So I don't know, Jessica and Leslie, if you want to share anything more about the pages or anything else.
Well, Jessica didn't unmute, but Norco is still undecided if they're going to do their page for marketing. MVC has launched their page at All Routes to RCC, but Jessica did work with John to create a ticket to make sure the marketing and the flyer was all consistent. So I've shared it today to see if the leadership wants to adopt it. So Jessica's been doing a lot of heavy lifting to try to get consistency across the colleges.
Thank you. Leslie, please keep me posted if it's a decline, because I don't know that it's an option.
We have that too at Norco. Now things go through a form through Kenesha Tarrant and then trickle down to Ruth for design.
Okay. Anything else? I think we went through most of the agenda. Is there anything else for the good of the group?
I will just say that although we have these designated designs that were made to be consistent with the designs, each college is welcome to create their own that matches their branding and their messaging. It was just kind of so that they have it so that it's consistent across the district, but also they're welcome to do whatever they want. I just wanted to make sure everyone had something on launch point so that they're not empty handed.
No, it's appreciated. Thank you, Jessica. Anything else for the collective? I appreciate you all and the time that you put into this committee. We'll be following up and we'll talk soon. Happy Friday. Bye.